Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into the incredibly complex, often unseen work that underpins our daily lives.
Yeah.
You know, the roads we drive on, the water systems delivering clean water right to our homes.
Right.
It's far more than just, you know, construction. It's about meticulous planning, these really intricate agreements, and navigating diverse community priorities.
That's absolutely right. These essential services, they involve this sophisticated dance between city governments and specialized engineering urban planning firms. It's, well, truly fascinating when you peel back the layers and see how these crucial projects actually come to life.
And that's exactly what we're going to do today. Our mission is to take a deep dive into municipal engineering, urban planning, specifically through the lens of one city's ongoing relationship, Shawnee and a key consulting firm, Fries & Nichols, or FNI.
Okay.
We've gathered a rich stack of sources for you, everything from official city commission meeting minutes to detailed professional service agreements, even financial records.
Wow.
We'll unpack these documents, highlight the specific agreements, the costs, and even the public debates that, you know, shape a city's future, so you can see what it really takes.
It's an illuminating look, I think, at how cities manage their growth and maintain those essential services for residents like you.
Yeah.
So should we start by exploring the sheer scope of FNI's engagement with Shawnee?
Okay, let's do that. So this relationship between the city of Shawnee and FNI, it's built on this framework of professional services agreements.
Right.
The earliest we've seen is a master professional services agreement, an MSA, established back on December 20, 2022.
Okay.
This specific one was for water and sewer on-call engineering design services.
Gotcha.
Essentially, it's like a standing agreement. It lets the city issue project-specific task authorizations as needs pop up without having to, you know, negotiate a brand new contract every single time.
And what's really noteworthy there is how these master agreements provide that crucial flexibility. Instead of starting from scratch for every little project, the city can just efficiently issue a task authorization, which means FNI can quickly address the backbone of the city's infrastructure. Water lines, culverts, roads, getting to work much faster.
Right. Bradley. Exactly. And FNI has certainly been active on that front. Let's talk about some water line replacements. For instance, the Park Street water main replacement. That was task authorization number one from November 30th, 2022.
Yep.
That project came in at $122,040. It involved installing a 14-inch HDPE pipe.
HDPE, right. High-density polyethylene.
Yep. Durable plastic. And it had a projected 25-week construction phase.
And their services for that project sound pretty comprehensive.
Oh, yeah.
FNI handled everything from preliminary and final design, the bid phase, general construction services, a topographic survey, even environmental clearance.
Right.
Which in this case involved a dump top evaluation for a categorical exclusion. That's like a pre-approved determination that some projects don't have a significant environmental impact, which really streamlines the whole permitting thing.
Makes sense. Then we have task authorization number two from March 2, 2023. This was for the Alice Faye, Edwards, and Psotom Street waterline replacement.
Great. Go bigger.
Yeah, a larger undertaking, costing $193,000. It covered multiple waterline sizes, 8-inch, 12-inch, 6-inch across several streets, totaling over 7,500 linear feet of that HDPE pipe.
And the timeline for that project reflects its scale, right? A projected 52-week construction phase.
Much longer.
Yeah, way longer than Park Street, which just highlights the, you know, the increased complexity when you're dealing with multiple streets and different pipe sizes.
And we see an even more maybe nuanced approach in task authorization number four. The Midland Edition waterline replacement dated March 25, 2024. That one cost $82,645. What really stood out to you there from an engineering perspective?
Well, beyond the, you know, roughly 7,000 linear feet of 8-inch HDE waterline, this project included a very specific hydraulic analysis.
Huh.
That was for the Oklahoma Department of Environmental Quality ODEQ permitting. ODEQ is the state's main environmental regulator. So this analysis, it involved water system monitoring using GIS data. Mm-hmm. Think of those as like smart maps layering all sorts of city info.
Right.
And hydrant pressure testing for fire flow compliance. So this Midland Edition project, it isn't just laying pipes. It's a great example of how seemingly mundane infrastructure ties directly into crucial regulations, ensuring the whole system works safely, right down to having enough water pressure for fighting fires.
Precisely. And it's not just water lines, is it? Critical culvert infrastructure is another area where FNI plays a big role.
Mm-hmm.
For the Clear Pond Road culvert replacement, the goal was to design a concrete box culvert structure that was to replace two existing 60-inch CMP's corrugated metal pipes.
Right, the old metal ones.
Yeah, and then reconstruct a two-lane asphalt roadway over it.
And the basic services for that project totaled $64,450. $31,000 for conceptual design, $29,650 for final design.
And we even saw an invoice, right?
Yeah.
$1,065.66 processed November 14th, 2023, specifically labeled Clear Pond Road Culvert, shows that ongoing tracking.
Yeah, absolutely. And the technical details here are key. The sizing of the culvert, it was based on stream stats data, helps estimate stream flow rates, and then double-checked with HY8 software. That's a specialized tool for culvert hydraulics, make sure water flows properly.
Okay.
And the proposed culvert size, it was also designed to be an ODOT standard detail size, so it meets state engineering specs.
Makes sense. So, moving beyond pipes and culverts, F&I is also deeply involved in the bigger picture stuff. Urban planning, community vision for Shawnee, specifically with their Unified Development Code project, the UDC.
Well, yes, the UDC. That was a significant undertaking, contracted for a lump sum fee of $344,492. Started late 2021 or early 2022, I think.
So why is a Unified Development Code like such a big strategic move for a city?
Well, the move to a UDC isn't just about, you know, tidying up the existing rules. It's a strategic long-term play.
Okay.
This project directly aligns with the city's Shawnee Next Horizons comprehensive plan, which they adopted back in October 2019. The goal is to modernize and integrate existing kind of fragmented regulations.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, subdivision rules from 1990, sign regs from 99, zoning from 2014.
All over the place.
Exactly. It's about creating a single, cohesive rule book for how the city develops, making sure Shawnee's growth is predictable, consistent, aligned with that overall vision. It helps prevent future legal headaches and, you know, inconsistent development that can really plague a city for decades.
And the process for developing a UBC sounds pretty extensive, a multi-phase approach.
Oh, definitely.
Phase one involved a code diagnostic and analysis report. So F&I reviewed existing regs, did virtual stakeholder interviews, planning commission, city commission, public works, even home builders.
Right. And they held an in-person community meeting, too, back in June 2023.
Okay.
Yeah, the interviews were June 9th and 16th, community meeting also on the 16th. Then a draft report was ready by June 30th. Deliverables for that phase included a dedicated project website and the report itself. So, you know, transparency, a basis for future decisions, public input.
Then phase two, that's where the actual draft UDC gets developed.
Yeah.
Creating new districts, use lists, standards, processes, reorganizing old stuff. Then it goes through staff review.
And phase three, UDC refinement and adoption.
Yeah.
That brings it into the public forum. Includes a joint workshop for both the planning and city commissions, then participation in public hearings for the official adoption. This whole multi-stage process really underscores how important public input and buy-in are for shaping a city's future, doesn't it?
It really does. And finally, there's phase four, the engineering design criteria, EDC, and standard specifications.
Right.
F&I reviews the city's draft EDC, develops a technical memo with recommendations, and then completes the final EDC document. It's a comprehensive overhaul, touches every aspect of the built environment.
And another critical area, especially for public safety, environment. Dam rehabilitation.
Yeah.
F&I is involved in the Shawnee Twin Lake Dam No. 1 rehab project.
Fine runoff?
The scope there is addressing deficiencies found in earlier studies, specifically degraded riprap, that rock lining on the upstream slope and spillway, and clearing vegetation off the lower slope and the toe of the dam.
This project also includes repaving the road across the dam, replacing the upstream guardrail. But from an engineering angle, what makes these advanced analyses like dam breach modeling so crucial, especially for what they call a high hazard dam?
That's a really good question, because this is where the super stuffalized work comes in. They're using HECRAS, which is this powerful two-dimensional model that simulates how water flows across a landscape. Mm-hmm. It's crucial for predicting potential flood impacts if a dam were to breach, understanding the ripple effects.
Right.
They evaluate scenarios like a normal pool breach, a design flood, which is a major hypothetical flood event with or without a breach, even a barely overtopping scenario, again, with or without breach.
Wow.
It's vital because, as you said, the dam is currently classified high hazard.
Yeah.
They also do seepage and slope stability analysis using software like CPW that analyzes how water seeps through soil and SLOPU, which assesses slope stability. Both are critical for understanding the dam's structural integrity under different conditions, like earthquakes or floods.
And it comes with assumptions about environmental permitting.
Mm-hmm.
It assumes a Section 404 permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the USA, via a nationwide permit.
Right. A nationwide permit is like a pre-approved permit for common activities with minimal environmental impact. streamlines things.
But if they needed more complex permits, like an individual permit or compensatory mitigation or maybe cultural or endangered species surveys, that would mean additional services, more costs.
Exactly. And we even saw an invoice for, what was it, $31,571.47 for Shawnee Twin Lake Dam rehab.
Yeah.
Processed January 10th, 2025. It just shows that even the assessment and design phases for these critical safety projects are substantial investments. Makes you think about how much hidden work goes into just keeping these vital structures safe, doesn't it?
It truly does. Okay, so we've covered the breadth of F&I's work. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about the dynamics of collaboration. You know, the interaction between the city, the consultant, F&I, and the community.
Right.
And the public debate around the Broadway Street project seems like a perfect example of these complexities.
Oh, absolutely. This project really highlights that complex interplay of factors influencing urban development and how different stakeholders weigh in. So Shawnee City Commissioners initially approved negotiations to hire F&I for design and engineering services for these Broadway Street improvements.
And the stated goal was increased connectivity for active transportation and traffic calming measures for safer streets for all types of transportation.
Pretty standard goals for street projects these days.
Yeah. The estimated project cost was $1.2 million, with a 50-50 grant partnership from the Avedis Foundation. The design contract itself, maybe around 20% of that total cost.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The approval was by a narrow 4-3 vote.
Close.
Yeah, really close. Even though commissioners mostly agreed on the positive economic development side of things, the division wasn't about if the project was good, but more about the timing, priority, or funding.
Right. Commissioner Herod, for instance, he expressed concerns that the city had, quote, overspent our budget the last 2 or 3 years from $5 million to $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
He believed it was fiscally irresponsible to consider it then, suggesting it would, quote, end up costing closer to $2 million. And he also explicitly opposed any kind of activity that would remove any kind of parking off Broadway.
Parking is always a hot button issue.
Oh.
And Commissioner Salter echoed that sentiment, pointing out that, quote, too many streets, curbs, and gutters needing attention elsewhere should be prioritized first. It shows a clear focus from those commissioners on what they saw as more immediate fundamental infrastructure needs versus maybe a longer-term development vision.
So given that kind of strong opposition to certain aspects, what challenges does that create for F&I, the consultant, trying to balance these diverse community needs while still moving a project forward?
That's the real tightrope walk, isn't it?
Yes.
The firm provides the technical expertise, the how-to, but they also have to be responsive to the political and community landscape.
Right.
In this case, the supporters had their reasons too. Mayor Finley countered, saying the city's reserves had seen substantial recovery. He emphasized the need for a plan, calling this design phase the first bite of the apple.
Okay.
He argued for moving forward to get options to, quote, survey the residents up and down Broadway and find room for compromise.
And Commissioner Rutherford tried to clarify that the vote wasn't actually to approve spending millions of dollars or make people move off their street parking.
Right, just the design phase.
Exactly, just to see some possibilities on what we can do down that street, which illustrates that critical difference between funding the design and approving the whole project. Public perception can sometimes blur those lines, you know? It's a key thing to watch in city government.
Definitely. And that leads us to a kind of fascinating detail, the Blue Zones connection.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
Friesen Nichols, Inc. is listed as an approved work site for the Blue Zones project down at Fort Worth, promoting healthier work environments.
And Mayor Finley made a strong statement connecting this to Shawnee's own approach to the Blue Zones project. He really emphasized it assimilates and disseminates information about how to make healthy choices in your life, clarifying that it is not telling this commission or people in town what to do.
So what does that mean for Shawnee then? He mentioned the city has endorsed certain policies like restricting outdoor smoking in a wellness district.
Right.
But not passed any regulatory regime. So it underscores that the project there is about providing information for personal choice, community well-being, not mandates.
Education, not enforcement.
Exactly. Highlighting the city's commitment to community health without necessarily imposing new regulations.
Okay, so moving from public debate to the contractual fine print, let's look at the grant consultant relationship. responsibilities, limitations.
You're in the nitty-gritty.
FNI, like most consulting firms, provides an opinion of probable construction costs, but they explicitly state they do not guarantee the accuracy of such estimates.
And that's a crucial disclaimer, isn't it? Because as they say, they do not have control over the cost of labor, material, equipment, or services furnished by others, or over market conditions.
Right.
It just sets realistic expectations for the city.
Mm-hmm.
Helps them understand that a cost estimate is a professional projection, not like a fixed price carved in stone.
And during construction, FNI's resident project representatives, RPRs, they observe the work, report problems, implement quality assurance testing, but they do not guarantee the contractor's performance, nor is FNI responsible for supervising the contractor's operations, employees, safety programs, or their means, methods, techniques, sequences, or procedures of construction.
Right. They can't accept submittals from anyone but the contractor. And importantly, the RPR does not have stop work authority, except for immediate worker or public safety reasons.
It defines those clear boundaries of responsibility. FNI provides oversight, but they don't take on the contractor's direct management role.
Yeah. And on the flip side, the city, as the client, has significant responsibilities too.
Mm-hmm.
They have to provide all available relevant info, grant access to properties, promptly examine and give written feedback on all submitted documents.
Okay.
Designate a representative with contract authority, furnish necessary approvals and permits from government authorities, and arrange and pay for all subsurface investigations.
Mm.
You know, borings, test pits, that sort of thing.
And the agreements also advise the client to budget. What was it? A minimum of 5% for new construction and 10% for refurbishing existing structures.
For change orders.
Right. For change orders, which are explicitly recognized and expected, that's a critical financial planning detail,
yeah,
often missed by the public, but totally standard for big construction projects.
Absolutely. And when it comes to the project documents themselves,
all become the property of the city once they're paid for. Though FNI can keep copies and reuse the general information for their other work, but at their own risk.
Seems like a pragmatic approach to IP. The city owns what they paid for.
And either party can terminate an agreement with 10 days written notice.
Okay.
FNI gets compensated for services rendered up to that date. Provides an important exit clause for both sides, ensuring fair compensation if circumstances change.
And to give you a really concrete example of this in practice,
mm-hmm,
for projects like the Shawnee Waterline sewer pipe bursting, that was task authorization number 3. FNI provides a full-time resident inspector. This person is on site for an estimated 26 weeks, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Wow, full-time. Yeah. And their duties include checking material usage, making sure joints are fused correctly, approving pay applications, even resolving landowner issues.
Right. All aimed at ensuring sound engineering principles and building practices throughout construction. It's that on-the-ground quality control that really makes all the difference in these critical infrastructure projects.
It really is.
So we've kind of navigated through these complex layers, haven't we? How cities plan, approve, execute these vital infrastructure and development projects.
Mm-hmm.
From multi-million dollar water lines, critical dam rehabs, to those big citywide planning overhauls like the UDC. This deep dive really reveals that intricate dance between engineering expertise, public finance, and community input.
Yeah. It's clear that while the visible results are impressive, the new road, the clean water, the unseen agreements and debates are just as crucial, maybe more so sometimes.
Indeed. It's a reminder that every single piece of public infrastructure, every zoning change, it's the result of careful consideration, negotiation, and often, yeah, compromise.
It really makes you think about how much hidden work goes into just keeping a city running smoothly, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's less about, you know, grand blueprints just appearing and more like a continuous, very high stakes game of Jenga. Countless little details holding everything together so our daily lives run smoothly.
That's a good analogy. So the next time you drive on a newly paved road or drink a glass of clean water or maybe see a new building going up in your city, what new questions might you ask about the unseen work, the debates, the intricate professional agreements that made it all possible?
Mm-hmm. How much of our daily lives are really shaped by these intricate behind-the-scenes professional agreements and sometimes very public debates? Makes you wonder.